We were in the book of Philippians, and we talked about Paul's message from the front lines, what he communicated back to one of the churches that was one of his heavy supporters. And then 2 weeks ago, we started in these two chapters in 2 Corinthians. We looked at chapter 8 2 weeks ago, and I didn't really finish my lesson, but I didn't sense that the Lord would have me return to the end part of that. And so we're just going into chapter 9 today as we look at grace giving. In the idea of being motivated by the grace of God to give in a way that just is abounds, in a way that is just very unique and is a blessing to be a part of. And I told you 2 weeks ago that the model given to us in these lessons that we've looked at is where we get the idea for faith promise giving, which is what we practice at our church. It's why we have Faith Promise Sunday, where you give commitments, and throughout the year you pay those things. And those commitments are not pledges that we follow up on, but they're things that you and the Lord take care of between the two of you. And so that's what we're going to look at today. And I'm going to teach a lesson entitled A Time to Give. A time to give. So let's read just a few verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You've been sitting down for a while. Let me invite you to stand with me as we read from God's Word. And this will get you a time to wake back up after listening to my report from Florida as we read these out of respect for God's Word as well. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse number 1, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know that the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we say, not ye," so he's saying that I wouldn't be, rather than pointing the finger at them, "should be ashamed in this confident boasting." So basically the scene here is Paul had received commitments from the Corinthian church, and he sends to them some people to make good on their commitments. So when he arrives in Corinth, the Macedonian believers who Paul had been boasting to, these believers in Macedonia, about what the Corinthian church was planning on doing, he didn't want to get there with them and the Corinthians be like, "I don't know what you're talking about, Paul. We forgot all about that. We're not ready," is the term that he uses here in this passage. And so that's the setting that we find ourselves in. "Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort you," in verse 5, "the brethren, that they go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. Wherefore, ye had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, not as of covetousness. But I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." I'm going to stop our reading there just for the sake of time, and let's go to God in a word of prayer and ask Him to speak to our hearts today. Father, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for the fact that people have given so that this ministry would be possible. And Lord, there are many needs that need to be met in regards to missions around the world. And it's my prayer that this group would be ignited through these lessons and through the missions conference a week and a half from now to participate in a very active and a very bountiful way, to use the word in this passage of Scripture, in the work of missions. And Lord, I pray for them. I pray that the motivation would come from your Spirit by grace in their hearts, not an external pressure, because I would never know what they give, and it's not between me and them. Lord, my desire is that they would be motivated by your grace to give what you would lead them to give, just as was Paul's desire for the Corinthian church that he expresses in this passage of Scripture. Lord, we pray that you'd work in our hearts today, and I pray for Pastor as he preaches in the service to follow. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you for standing. You may be seated. Faithful, faith-filled giving is not an accident. It's a choice. You will never be a faithful and faith-filled giver until you make the choice to understand, number one, what that means, and number two, what that takes. Marcus de Lafayette was a French officer who you may have heard his name before, who provided invaluable assistance to George Washington in the American Army during the Revolutionary War. After the war was over, he returned to France and resumed his life as a farmer of many estates. I mean, he had just a lot of land, and they had servants that would farm this land for him. In 1783, the harvest that year was horrible, and there was a lot of people that suffered as a result of that, but not Lafayette. For whatever reason, we could delve into that, but we won't today. Lafayette's farms were not affected by the famine and maybe the drought that had led to it and the crop failure that year. One of his workers offered Lafayette some advice. He said, hey, the harvest this year has been horrible, he said to him, and there's a lot of people that don't have the wheat and things that they need. So he looked at Lafayette and said, this is a time to sell. Hey, we can make a lot of money. That's what he was saying. People need it. This is the time to sell. After thinking about all the people in the surrounding villages and those who were hungry and going without, Lafayette disagreed and responded to his worker, no, this is a time to give. Amen. When we realize the need in the world around us, it's going to cause us to just let go of some of our pursuits and our desires to maybe gather things unto ourselves. The American dream is oftentimes one of the greatest tools in the devil's hand to cause the work of God to not go forward. It does not matter in the end what you have or what you collect in this life and how much you sell, whatever it is that you make for. That is not the goal in life at all. And I would say at this time, there has never been, it has never been more true, that statement that Lafayette made. This is not a time to sell. This is not a time to do as it says in the book of James. There was a group of people who thought, oh, you know, let's go into the city and buy and sell for a year and get gain and all of these things. And the response to that was that it was foolish, because life is a vapor. There's no telling how long our lives will last. There's no telling how much more time you have to invest your life in the cause of Jesus Christ. So don't just think, oh, well, I'll serve God one day. Let me finish school first. Let me get myself established first. Just serve God now and think, okay, this year, this moment is a time to give. Now, I've talked to you in the last several weeks that not all giving is monetary. And so I don't want to get back into that because it would just eat all of our time away. But there is definitely no doubt that some giving is monetary, okay? And it's just part of what we look at and what we must consider as we look at this passage. So as I talk about it being a time to give today, I want to challenge you to think financially. And then in every other way, prayers and all the other things that you have that you can give, I want to challenge you to think about how and in what ways God would lead you to give this year. If you've never given through a missions conference and never given to missions through our church before, don't think that I'm standing here right now thinking that you're a horrible person or whatever. There was a time in my life that I had never given, and I'd never really been challenged. And so here's your challenge from me and really from God and from the Word of God today. This year, I want you to stop and think, what should I give? What should I give? It's a time to give. Giving's not a natural thing. It's definitely something that has to be motivated by the grace of God in your life. And as you contemplate this aspect and this teaching about the fact that God would lead you to give certain things this year, what we're going to do today is just look at five reminders that Paul gave to the Corinthian church as he prepared them for a time to give. That's what he wrote to them about. He writes to this church and he has already received their commitments. Maybe he had been there earlier in the year or the year before or whatever, and he had been there in this church and said, hey, Paul, we understand the need. When you come back through, we're going to give because we want to help meet that need. And now he's sending people to that church to help them. And in sending those people, he does a few things, but he sends this letter and he gives them some reminders. And these are reminders that I believe we all ought to keep in mind every time we approach a giving moment. Every time God asks you to give, give something, these are things that you can keep in mind. And some of them would come before, some of them would come right at that moment. But I think that will become clear as we look at this real briefly today. Number one, reminder number one, giving requires preparation. Giving, grace giving, is done from the heart and can be done spontaneously, but it is not done without preparation. I'm just telling you what, if you're going to give appropriately to the work of God, you have to think about it. If right now you're just kind of daydreaming like, oh, well, you know, what am I going to do tomorrow? What's going to happen this week? You are not preparing to give, and you're going to miss the opportunity. All the things that we've talked about, the wonderful blessing of being involved in giving, you're going to miss all that. You have to prepare. You have to mentally and physically and spiritually prepare. And that's what Paul said. Paul wrote to this group, and just notice what he says in these verses. He first said in verse number one, I don't need to write to you about the need anymore. He said, as touching the ministering to the saints, it's superfluous. It's not necessary. It would be above and beyond what I need to do, because you already understand the need. He said, that's not what I'm writing to you about. I know you have a heart and a desire, because there was a forwardness in your mind a year ago. And that's what I've gone around these other churches and said, hey, we're trying to put together an offering, because this is what was taking place. There was a need back in Jerusalem. There had been a poor season, and the churches there and the believers there needed some support. And Paul was, as a missionary, going to take this back to that area in Judea and Jerusalem to help minister to the saints. And so he was going around preaching about this need, and the Corinthian church said, okay, Paul, we're going to give. When you come back through, we're going to have it all together. We're going to give. So before Paul goes back, he sends some people. He says, hey, I want to get there. They've made a big promise, and I'm not sending these people as like tax collectors. I read a story about this just yesterday, and there was this guy. Now, obviously, this is not a great story, but there was this guy that was a bartender, and the people that went to this bar thought that he was the strongest guy ever. And he would take lemons and he would squeeze these lemons and he would squeeze the lemons until there was nothing left in them. And the challenge that he would offer to anybody anywhere was if they could get another drop of juice out of this lemon, that he would give them $1,000. And so people came from all over, weightlifters, you know, big, strong people came, and no one could beat him. And then one day, this little scrawny guy, you know, kind of balding, glasses, big glasses, he comes in and he looks at the bartender. He says, hey, I want to take you up on your challenge. You know, everybody just erupts into laughter, obviously. You know, here's this big buff bartender, obviously not a good thing. I'm just going to continue to elaborate on that point. And then there's this little scrawny guy, and the guy grabs the lemon, he squeezes it, you know, for all he's worth, and just like always, you know, he gets done, and there's this like emaciated little lemon, you know, and he hands it to this guy. And the guy takes the lemon and he squeezes it, and he starts to squeeze, and to the amazement of everybody, six drops came out of that lemon. And the bartender, you know, he pays up. He says, all right, you know, you'll beat the challenge. And then he said, what? He said, obviously you're not a weightlifter. Obviously you're not a strong guy. He said, what do you do? He said, I work for the IRS. You know, when there's nothing left, they can still get a little bit more out of you, you know? And that's not what Paul was doing, okay? That he's not sending this group to say, all right, we got to get everything from you because that's what you promised. That is not at all what, when I read that story yesterday, I had no intention of telling it, but it just came to mind at this moment. So he said, hey, I'm sending this group. These people are coming. Not to strong arm you into giving. Basically, Paul was saying, I just want to remind you, hey, I'm on my way. This is just a friendly reminder so that you can give. And in the passage he says, so that when I get there, your giving is not is out of bounty, not out of covetousness, not out of this this desire of mine to get something from you, or this desire of yours to make sure you appear the right way. He was just saying, hey, you made this promise and I want to give. So I want you to be able to give. So I want to remind you, be ready. That's what it said in verse number three, that ye may be ready. And so let me challenge you, as you get ready for Faith Promise Sunday, 2 weeks from today, prepare. Pray. Pray and ask God, God, what do you want me to give? How can I begin to lay aside? And you will not regret beginning to give. My wife and I give more to missions now than we ever really thought we possibly could. And we were talking about it yesterday. And it's just such a blessing to know that we are able to give what we do. And we don't lack. We have no need in our life necessarily that is not met. And obviously that takes wise financial planning and all of that kind of stuff that would go along with it. That's the preparation I'm talking about. And so just begin to think, okay, if I'm going to give, it's going to maybe going to take me not giving to something else. I'm not going to, go out to Burger King quite so often. I'm not going to go out to eat. I'm not going to waste my money on that hobby or maybe as much of that money on that hobby. I'm going to try to prepare to give. Giving requires preparation. Number two, giving relies on a principle. And that's a little bit vague, but the principle is what's recorded for us in verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The principle is sowing and reaping. What you sow, you reap. You sow after, or you reap after you sow, you reap more than you sow, but you do reap what you sow. And so Paul was saying to this church here, he's saying, hey, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. I want to remind you about this principle of giving, that you need to give. And if you give sparingly, you're going to get a little bit back. But if you just say, hey, I'm going to give bountifully, I'm just going to give from my heart. That verse that I read in verse number 2 of chapter number 8 talks about how the Macedonian believers did that. Once again, it says how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. I mean, these were people that they just gave from their hearts. And it was just like, hey, I'm going to give. And I'm going to give a lot. I'm going to give as much as I possibly can. I'm going to give bountifully. And a reminder, when you give like that, just like Paul said in the book of Philippians, that my God shall supply all your need.
Yes, right.
So when you decide, hey, I'm going to prepare and I'm going to base my life on this principle. I'm going to give and I'm going to try to give as bountifully as I can. You know, there are people who give way more than you and I could ever possibly fathom giving. And that doesn't matter to God in the sense of God looking at you. God just wants you to give what would be bountiful for you.
Amen.
So don't compare yourself to other people and how much they might give or whatever the case may be. Just remember to give. And you will reap what you sow. And you will reap in due proportion to that which you sow as well. Okay? And so that's the principle. I don't have a lot of time to go very deeply into any of these. So that's number two. Number three, reminder. Giving remembers the purpose. Paul understood something perhaps far better than most of us do. And that is the fact that there is definitely a pressure at times to make people do the right thing. That is not the way that God functions. Paul grew up as a Jew. He was a Pharisee. The Pharisees' rules and their religion was one of absolute control on the individual lives of every person who ever espoused to be a Jew. I mean, they just forced this lifestyle. And if you didn't match up, they let you know it. I mean, it was just abundantly clear. It was a very, very much a works-based system. And Paul grew up in that system, and he even excelled in that system. He called himself in the book of Philippians or somewhere else maybe a Pharisee of the Pharisee. I mean, he was a man who was just above and beyond able and dedicated to following this pressured lifestyle and pressuring others. Notice what verse number 7 says. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. One of my great fears in teaching these lessons is this, that you will walk out of this room thinking that I will be disappointed, me personally would be disappointed in you if you don't give. Because it's just not my place at all. My place is just to get up and tell you what the Word of God says. And if you feel like you can't, let me challenge you, try it anyways. But if you feel like you can't, just pray and ask God to help you to do what you can do. You might not be able to give financially, but you can give something. But let it come from your heart, not from some external pressure by the church or by some other entity or whatever the case may be. The Bible says, as you purpose in your heart. And this has always been God's way. Men get this out of whack, but you can go all the way back to the Old Testament and find, I told you I'd mentioned the tabernacle, and I don't have much time at all, but in the tabernacle, when the tabernacle was being built, God gave them instructions, this is what it's going to look like, and all these different kinds of things. But notice what he said when they took up the offering in Exodus chapter 35. The Bible says, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. In verse 21, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whose spirit made him willing. Verse 22, and they came, both men and women, as many as were willing hearted. Verse 29, and the children of Israel brought a willing offering. This is just the way God functions. God wants it to be from your heart. That's why Paul was not sending this, an agent of the IRS to get the money out of these people. I mean, that was not what God wanted. He wants it to come from your heart. The purpose from within. It results in production. I don't have any time now to go through any of this, but it provided for itself. Verse number 8 said, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always being toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. When you decide to give, God just supplies so that you can. I could tell you stories about how that works, but I don't have time to. Verse number 12 tells us that it met the need. It says in verse number 12, for the administration of this service, the offering that we're taking up, not only supplieth the want of the saints, and that's all he says about that. I just want to say this right here. Paul did not focus on the physical need that was being met, because the work of God far exceeds meeting physical needs. He just says, yeah, okay, it supplied their physical need, but it also fueled their praise. Verse 12 and 13, unto the glory of God. We've talked about that, and I don't have time to go into that. But it says that it was abundant unto the many thanksgivings unto God. It fueled their praise, and it initiated their prayers. They began to pray for the Corinthian church. You know, when you give, there are believers all around this world who thank God for the people who gave and pray for those churches and therefore those people. That means that there are people all around this world praying for you just because you gave. That's amazing, because we need the prayers of God's people in our lives. And I think we probably would tend to undervalue that point, because we often undervalue the power of prayer. But that's just something I just want to brush by here. And then the last reminder is that giving resembles a picture. As if all that he said had not been enough, Paul ends this chapter with this statement. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Just kind of like, hey, tagline at the end, hashtag, God gave more than you ever could, okay? Like, I mean, it's just like God's gift is a motivation for you. I mean, just whatever you want to make it, that was Paul's hashtag right there. I mean, like, hey, God did this. Just go ahead and give. Just let that motivate you. And if you and I would stop and think about what God has done for us, it would just lead us to give. We would not struggle with this. And I want to challenge you to think about what God did. C.T. Studd said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, there is no sacrifice too great for me to give for him. Amen. And it is a time to give. Let me just remind you of that fact. And then take these reminders, think about them, contemplate them as you go, and remember, God wants to stir you in your heart. These have just been preparations for that. So come to missions conference every night, begin to pray, God, what can I give? What could I do? And you might say, I don't have a lot of money. Well, we're going to set up a Great Wall of China next Sunday night. You can give. All it takes is coming to that. I'm serious. That's part of it. Because when our missionaries come and they see all the stuff that we've done to get ready for missions conference, it will encourage them. Right. And they will go back and do the work encouraged. Because you gave a little bit of time on Sunday night, maybe a little bit of money, a few prayers. there's plenty of things to give. Just remember, the time is now. And that's what we need to remember. All right, Heath, if